Title: Sliced MIDI Break Workflows at 170 BPM Beginner. Alright, let's build some proper drum and bass drums in Ableton Live at 170 BPM using one of the fastest workflows ever, Sliced MIDI. The big idea is simple. We take a classic breakbeat, we warp it so it's locked to the grid, we slice it into individual hits, and now we can play that break like a drum kit. Same jungle character, way more control. Then we'll program a tight one-bar roller, add a little processing with stock devices, and sketch a quick intro to drop arrangement. Go ahead and open Ableton Live. Step 0. Project setup for DNB. Set your tempo to 170 BPM. Top left. Lock it in. Turn on the metronome. And if you like having a little run-up before recording, set a one-bar count in. Then create a new audio track. This is where your break will live. Now step 1. Import a break and warp it properly. Drag a breakbeat audio file onto that audio track. Amen. Think, hot pants, funky drummer, whatever you've got. Double-click the clip so you can see clip view. Turn warp on. This matters, because if the break isn't warped cleanly, everything you slice later will feel wrong, even if your MIDI is on the grid. For warp mode, choose beats. That's usually the best choice for breaks, because it keeps transients tight. Set preserve to transients, and for now, keep transient loop mode off. We want clean, predictable hits. Now you need to align the first rebel downbeat. Listen carefully. A lot of breaks have a tiny hat or noise right before the real one. If you slice starting on that, your whole rack will feel offset. So zoom in at the beginning. Find the first musical hit that actually feels like 1.1.1. If the clip isn't aligned, right-click at the correct start point and choose warp from here, straight. Then check the bar lines. Your loop brace should land perfectly from 1.1.1 to 2.1.1 for one bar loop, or out to 5.1.1 for four bars, if you want more material. Here's your quick reality check. Does the snare consistently feel like it's hitting on beats 2 and 4? Indeed, NB, at backbeat is your anchor. If that anchor wobbles, the whole groove wobbles. If you notice drift, add warp markers at the bar lines and gently correct. Don't do violent time stretching unless you have to. Small adjustments. Bar locked. Coach tip. Once you've warped a clean 1 to 4 bars, consolidate it. Control or CMDJ. Consolidating prints the start and ends so sliced MIDI doesn't accidentally include some tiny pre-roll or weird offset. This one step saves a lot of confusion. Step 2. Clean the start and gain stage. Before slicing, we want a clean start and safe levels. Doom to the beginning again. Make sure the first transient is right on 1.1.1. Then adjust clip gain so your break peaks around -6 to -3 dB. This is one of those boring steps that makes everything better, because sliced MIDI is about to create lots of little samples, and if the break is too hot, you'll be chasing clipping forever. Step 3. Sliced MIDI. The core move. Right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the dialog, set slice by two transients. Create one slice per transient. And for slicing preset, built-in is totally fine. Hit OK, and Ableton creates a new MIDI track with a drum rack, and each pad has a sampler loaded with a slice. This is the unlock. You've turned a break into an instrument. Now step 4. Tighten the slices. The sampler settings that actually matter. Open the drum rack and click a pad, preferably a snare slice first so you can hear changes clearly. In sampler, we typically want slices to behave like one-shots. Warp inside sampler is usually off for slices. We already warped the original clip. Keep the slices raw. Set voices to 1 on most drum slices. This prevents overlap and flamming when notes re-trigger quickly at 170. Set trigger mode to trigger, not gate, so the hit plays like a one-shot even if the MIDI note is short. If you hear clicks, add a tiny fade-in, like 1 to 3 milliseconds. That's often all it takes. For hats or roomier noisy bits, you can bend that rule slightly. If voices equals 1 makes a hat sound unnaturally chopped, try voices equals 2 just for that pad. The goal is tight, not robotic. Now, choke groups. Super important. In the drum rack, put open hatish or noisy slices into the same choke group so they cut each other off. That prevents a wash of overlapping tails. For example, set hats and shuffles to choke group 1, and maybe break tails or crashy bits to choke group 2. Step 5. Find your kick and snare slices and label them. This is where beginners start feeling like pros, because organization speeds everything up. Solo the drum rack track, then click pads up the keyboard, usually starting around C1. Identify your main kick and your main snare first. Then find a couple ghost snares, hats, shuffles, little texture hits. Rename the pads, kick, snare, ghost, hat, top, whatever makes sense. and optional but recommended. Put kick on C1 and snare on D1 so your brain has a consistent layout. Also, if your rack is massive, like 60 pads of micro noise, don't panic. You can delete junk pads you'll never use. Or do a two-pass cleanup. Identify the best kick, snare, hat, and ghost slices. Then duplicate only those into a fresh drum rack so you have a clean palette. Step 6. Program a rolling 1-bar D-D-N-B pattern. Create a 1-bar MIDI clip on the sliced MIDI track. Set your grid to 1/16 to start. Now build the backbone. Put the snare on beat 2 and beat 4. That's 1.2 and 1.4. Then place a kick on 1.1. Add another kick somewhere before beat 3 to create movement. A common spot is around 1.3.3. But try 1.3.2 if it feels better with your break. Now bring the break to life with ghost notes. Add ghost snare slices quietly around places like 1.1.4, 1.2.3, 1.3.4, 1.4.3, and sprinkle hats or shuffle slices on off steps like 1.1.3, 1.2.2, 1.2.4, 1.3.2, 1.3.4, 1.4.2. Important teacher note. Velocity is half the groove. Main snare should be strong, like 110 up to 127. Main kick similarly strong, around 105 up to 127 depending on the sample. Ghost notes should be much quieter, like 30 to 70. Hat somewhere around 40 to 90. If everything is max velocity, it won't sound like a break anymore. It'll sound like a loud drum machine typing on every step. We want roll, not robot. Bonus workflow. If you hate drawing MIDI, use MIDI capture. Arm the track. Jam pads or keys for 20 to 30 seconds. Then hit capture in the top bar. Ableton will generate a clip from what you just played. Then edit it down. Delete the messy bits. Keep the happy accidents. This is a really fast way to find new patterns. Step 7. Make it punchy with a simple stock processing chain. We'll start with processing on the whole drum rack track. Fast and effective. First, EQ 8. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz to remove rumble. Your bass will own the real sub anyway. If it sounds boxy, dip a little around 200 to 400 Hz. If it's harsh, do a tiny dip around 6 to 10 kHz. Small moves. Next, drum bus. Add a little drive, maybe 2 to 10 depending on how aggressive you want it. Be careful with boom and D&B. It can sound cool, but too much will fight your bass. Keep it low, like 0 to 20. And only if it helps. Use damp if the top gets too crispy. Then glue compressor. Attack around 3 milliseconds. Release on auto or somewhere around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1. And aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is glue, not destruction. Optional. And saturator after that. Soft clip on. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Subtle. Just around and thicken. If you want more snare crack, process the snare pad itself. Inside the drum rack, on the snare pad chain, add EQ 8. High pass around 120 Hz. Tiny boost around 180 to 250 Hz for body, like 1 to 2 dB. And maybe a small presence boost around 2 to 5 kHz if it needs to speak. Then a compressor on the snare. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds so the transient pops through. Release 50 to 120 milliseconds and 2 to 4 dB reduction. If you want grit, you can add redux very lightly. A little goes a long way. Step 8. Get the break to dance with groove and micro timing. Open the groove pool. Try a swing 16 groove. Something subtle. Apply it at 10 to 25%. We're not trying to turn D&B into a shuffle track. We're trying to add a little human push-pull. If it gets sloppy, reduce timing impact and keep a little velocity or random if you want life without losing tightness. Alternate method. Manually nudge a couple hat or shuffle notes slightly late. Just a few milliseconds. Tiny changes can create that jungle lilt. Step 9. Turn your 1-bar loop into an arrangement. Let's make a quick 16-bar idea. Bars 1 to 8. Intro. Filter the break with EQ 8. Low pass around 8 to 12 kHz so it feels like it's coming in from a distance. Reduce kick density. Keep hats and ghosts so there's motion. Bars 9 to 16. Drop. Bring the full break pattern back. Add a small kick variation every 2 bars. And at the end of bar 16, do a simple fill, maybe an 8-note snare fill, or even a reverse slice if you've got one. Easy variation trick. Duplicate your 1-bar clip across 4 bars, then only change the last half bar each time. That keeps it rolling without sounding copied and pasted. If you wanted more real DJ structure, stretch it to 32 bars. 1 to 8 filtered and sparse. 9 to 16 full groove, no fills. let people lock in. 17 to 24 introduce variation, like probability notes on hats, or swap a couple slices. 25 to 32 lift the energy, then a clear end of phrase fill on bar 32. You can even automate energy with just two knobs. Slowly increase drum bus drive into the drop, just a little, and automate an EQ8 high shelf to get slightly brighter into the peak, then darker in breakdowns. That's basically free arrangement. Now, common mistakes to avoid while you work. If your warp is wrong before slicing, everything downstream feels wrong. Fix warp first. If you get too many slices, clean the rack. Delete junk pads or build a fresh rack with only the best slices. Don't put everything at full velocity. Brakes need dynamics. Don't overcompress the whole rack. You'll flatten the groove and bring up ugly noise. Use choke groups or the tails will overlap and wash out your rhythm. And keep low end under control. In modern DNB, the bass owns the sub. High pass the brake. Optional heavier DNB trick. Parallel crush. Create a return track called crush. Put saturator on it with drive around 6 to 12 dB, then drum bus, then EQ8 with a high pass at about 150 Hz. Send your brake to it quietly, like minus 18 to minus 10 dB send. You get aggressive top energy without mighty lows. Another clean trick. Make slices hit consistently without smashing the whole rack. On individual kick or snare pads, use utility gain to level match. Then a tiny bit of saturator drive, 1 to 3 dB, to thicken and tame peaks, often cleaner than heavy compression. And if the brake feels too roomy, do a gate-style trick per pad. Add gate on noisy slices like hats or room tails. Fast attack, short hold, and adjust release until it feels tight but not chopped. Do it per pad so you don't kill the snare body. Mini practice exercise to lock this in. Warp a break perfectly to 170 for 1 to 2 bars, consolidate it, then slice to MIDI by transients. Build two 1 bar patterns. Pattern A, a roller, steady and ghosty. Pattern B, a stepper, fewer kicks, heavier snare feel. Then build an 8 bar loop, A for bars 1 to 3, B for bar 4, and repeat. Add a small fill on bar 8. Add the rack processing chain. EQ8. Drum bus. Glue compressor. Export a quick audio bounce and listen at low volume. Ask yourself, can I still clearly hear the snare on 2 and 4? If yes, your groove is working. Quick recap. Warp first, so slicing behaves at 170. Slice to MIDI by transients to get a drum rack full of break hits. Program with snare on 2 and 4, then add ghosts and shuffles for movement. Use choke groups, voices equals 1, and velocity control to keep it tight. This audio version is shortened for playback.